Welcome to the first virtual NFL draft.
With the first pick, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow.
To jump up to number one overall is the dream come true.
Chase Young.
The first three picks, all teammates at Ohio State in 2017.
The Miami Dolphins select Tua Tagovailoa.
Three quarterback taken in the first six picks.
Too easy of a pick for them to make with him falling into their lap.
Tom Brady's Bucks are moving up to get Brady more protection.
The Dallas Cowboys select C.D. Lamb. Jordan Love, quarterback.
I can learn a lot from Aaron Rodgers.
And good morning, and thank you for getting up with us on ESPN. I'm Mike Greenberg in Bristol on a Football Friday, coming off of a night unlike anything that we've ever seen. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Those 32 young men had their dreams come true, and it was, again, a night completely different from any NFL draft past. And we start with all the big storylines that came through last night. And it began, of course, as expected, with the Bengals taking Joe Burrow, number one overall. He's the second player in the common draft era to win the Heisman, the national championship, and then go number one overall in the same year. Cam Newton was the first. The Dolphins then took Tua at number five. He's the second Alabama quarterback drafted in the first round in the common draft era. Just the sixth left-handed quarterback ever to go in round one. Very next pick, the Chargers took Justin Herbert with hopes that he will ultimately become Phillip Rivers' replacement. He was most recently MVP of the Senior Bowl. And then just when it seemed like everything was going to be quiet last night, the huge surprise, the Packers, with Aaron Rodgers still very much on the team, trading up to take Jordan Love with the 26th pick. Here's the man who made the decision.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't connected with Aaron yet. But, you know, he's obviously been through this, and, you know, he's a pro. And I think it's you know, certainly this is something that is a long-term decision. I think when you go through kind of the way things went tonight, you kind of you ran the short-term and the long-term, and we got the best quarterback in the National Football League, and we plan to have him for a while competing for championships. So I can understand, you know, the fan base and people thinking kind of, why would you do this at this time? But I just think the value of our board and the way it's at, it was the best thing for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, we're really excited to get Jordan here and get him into our system.
Those are answers, but they're not all of them. Here's Adam Schefter, our insider extraordinaire. Schefty, why did the Packers draft Jordan Love last night?
Ultimately, because they loved him. I'm looking over my pre-draft notes this morning, Greeny, and someone said to me before this draft that Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, would mandate his selection if it got to a certain point in the draft. Now, I don't think that we thought that that point would be in the first round where the Packers would aggressively trade up to go get him. But keep in mind a couple of things here. When Brett Favre was 36 years old, entering his age 36 season, that was when the Green Bay Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers in an unexpected way. Aaron Rodgers will be 36 years old this season. He has openly talked about the fact that he's close to the end of his career. He's done it on a few different occasions. And I think the Green Bay Packers have heard those words, and they saw a quarterback that they loved, and they decided to pursue that quarterback. It's also interesting, this is a page from the Kansas City Chiefs playbook. This is exactly what the Chiefs did with a quarterback that was drafted in the same draft class as Aaron Rodgers. They did it to Alex Smith, taking Patrick Mahomes, giving him time to learn for 1 year under Smith, and then going ahead and giving him the job. Now, again, Aaron Rodgers is further along in his career, more accomplished than Alex Smith, as great as Alex Smith has been. But the Green Bay Packers have put Aaron Rodgers on the clock, and the clock is now running.
Absolutely. So, now should we explain to our audience what the Packers' plans for Aaron Rodgers are going forward?
Well, we got dogs in the background barking here, Greeny. I apologize about that.
It's okay.
The plans going forward here is essentially a situation. Hold on. Hey, can you please shut my door? This is unbelievable. This is the way of the world right now. What are we going to do? Basically, their plans for Aaron Rodgers, they can take their time grooming Jordan Love. He's 21 years old. They don't have to rush him along. They will want to have Aaron Rodgers going along playing for the next couple of years. We don't know how long it is, but he's got 4 years left in his contract. And so if you see a quarterback that you love in Jordan Love, which they did, you go pick him and you have a quarterback asset. In the event that Aaron Rodgers decides to walk away and call it a career, in the event that Jordan Love develops in the way that they want him to, there's no rush right now. It may take a year. It may take 2 years. It may take 3 years. It may take 4 years. It may not happen at all. But they identified an asset in Jordan Love. And quarterbacks are currency. And the Packers drafted currency last night.
I get it. But the one thing I can tell you is that I understand what dogs are saying, and your dogs were barking at you. But hold on a minute. This team was in the NFC Championship game last year. They were one game away from the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you get Aaron Rodgers some help so they can win it this year? What's the answer?
Well, that is the whole argument, and that's what makes it surprising and interesting and something in which Aaron Rodgers cannot be pleased. We saw his former head coach go to Dallas, and in his first year as a head coach there, the Dallas Cowboys, who don't even need it, give him arguably the top wide receiver in this draft in CeeDee Lamb. Aaron Rodgers is watching Mike McCarthy get CeeDee Lamb. He watches himself get a backup quarterback to be his successor. That's not what he wanted. The Packers haven't used a first-round pick on a skilled offensive positional player in 15 years. The last time they had done it was 2005 for a quarterback. They've never given him a running back in the first round. They've never given him a wide receiver in the first round. They've never given him a tight end in the first round. You would have thought this would have been the time in a draft that's loaded with wide receivers. And instead, they trade up and take his successor, and that's why this pick is going to generate as much conversation as it will over the coming days and weeks.
And certainly the coming 2 hours. Shefty, outstanding. Thank you, and we will check back in again with you on a very busy day. Now, I should point out, if the Packers try and move on from Rodgers in the next two seasons, it'll be devastating to their cap. They'll be looking at dead money figures over $40 and $30 million in the next 2 years, respectively. In 2022, it becomes much more manageable, as you see the numbers on your screen. Rodgers, let's make sure we play this for you. He was on ESPN Radio in Milwaukee just a month ago and had this to say about what his thoughts would be if the Packers took a quarterback.
Look, I mean, I'm a realist. I know where we're at as an organization and where I'm at in my career. I still feel like I have a ton of years left playing at a high level. I'm confident enough. I've always felt like it doesn't matter who you bring in, they're not going to be able to beat me out anytime soon. So I feel really confident about my abilities and my plays.
All right, so that's what he said beforehand. I would love to have been a fly on the wall in the room he was sitting in last night when this happened. Orlovsky, Spears, and Rex are with me this morning, and there'll be plenty more to come. I should point it out to you, Dan, this way. April 23rd, 2005, the Packers take Aaron Rodgers with the 24th pick. 15 years later to the day, they take Jordan Love, ostensibly his replacement. Did you like the move or not?
I like the move, Greeny. I'm shocked that the Packers actually did it. They chose the future over the present. The thought process is the accurate thought process. But, and I said this to you guys last week, get ready to have the same conversations that we just had about the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, and get ready to have them about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Because we all talked about how the Patriots failed Tom Brady at the end of his career to surround him with talent, and the Packers are very much so doing the same with Aaron Rodgers. And all this does to me, it signals the beginning of the end for Aaron Rodgers and his time in Green Bay.
No question about it. Marcus, put yourself, we do a segment here called Swagoo Says, where you interpret what people say. We haven't heard from Aaron yet, but let's do it in advance. What do you think Aaron Rodgers was saying last night when this pick was made?
Aaron Rodgers said, oh, really? This is my opportunity to bounce out of here. Listen, this is one of those situations. Last night, Dan and I were talking. This is one of those situations where at some point Aaron Rodgers is going to request his removal from Green Bay. We've had multiple conversations about how these quarterbacks' egos and how well they played over time plays into their decision making, just like it did in Tom Brady's with him wanting to exit. Now you look at Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be in that position, who said he's confident that he can beat anybody out. It won't be long, maybe after this season, that we hear Aaron Rodgers either wants out of Green Bay or it is turmoil happening behind those organizational doors.
I remind everyone again, Rex Ryan, they were in the NFC Championship game last year. What did you think of this move last night?
Whew, I tell you what. I mean, I was shocked just like anybody else. you would think you're one game away from a Super Bowl. So to me, it's like, let's try to go for it right now, give Aaron Rodgers some weapons. Instead, they did just the opposite. However, when you look at this move was done 15 years ago. As you said, Greeny, it was probably the greatest trade-up in the history of the game when the Packers went up and got Aaron Rodgers. So they're seeing it as an organization, hey, let's do it again. See if lightning can strike twice. So Jordan Love, we all know this guy's got a phenomenal upside. He just needs time. Well, he's got the benefit of time right now. I agree with Dan that this is a move based on the future and not the present. To me, it's tough to make. And quite honestly, I can't wait to hear about that first conversation Matt LaFleur has with Aaron Rodgers. We know we'll never hear the real truth about it, but that's going to be a super difficult conversation.
Tell me about it, Rex. You're the coach now, and you have to do it. I mean, Dan and Marcus just told us he's going to be salty. I think all of us recognize he's going to be. When you're the coach, what's the first thing you say to him?
First thing you say is that, hey, look, this is a, you know, based on, an opportunity for our organization to get a guy, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road that can really help us. That's what he's got to say to him. Okay, but quite honestly, this change could happen. I don't disagree with you guys. This change could happen. You know, is it next year, the following year? It's going to be sooner than that. So to me, it's a difficult conversation. Look, it was kind of bumpy to begin with when that offense wasn't clicking. And then what happened? They started winning, got on a little bit of a roll. We saw the hugging, we saw all that kind of stuff. But to me, it seemed, it was more based on the fact they were having success. We're going to find out about that relationship right now, but it's really interesting. It was a move by Matt LaFleur that took a lot of courage. So hats off to him.
Dan, go ahead, Dan. When Matt LaFleur says this is a move about the future of our organization, what does Aaron say back?
Well, what about right now? This is a win now league, and your job is to help me win right now. Listen, this is an interesting pick, but what is most important now for the Packers is what they do at pick 62. We've talked about the depth of the wide receiver class. There's still Higgins, there's still Mims, there's still Duvernay, there's still Pittman, there's still Claypool. So for Packers fans, if you can get one of those receivers and Jordan Love, this was a really, really good move. This still could turn out in a positive fashion for the Green Bay Packers, for Aaron Rodgers and their organization moving forward.
I don't buy it. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I definitely don't buy it. I have to leave it here for the moment, but we have much more to be said about this as our morning continues. And then, of course, we get to this guy. The Dolphins got their man without having to make a move at all. One of our guys says it's a great pick, and you should not see him play this year at all. You'll hear all about it. Plus, we get back to the stunner of the night, the Packers drafting Aaron Rodgers' eventual replacement. How will he react? How should he? Does it make any sense at all? We'll answer all those questions on the morning after the draft. The stars of the show so far are Shefty and his dog. They deserve some screen time. We'll be right back.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Back on Get Up, and as it all turned out, the Dolphins were able to successfully tank for Tua after all. Miami standing pat last night at 5 and taking Tua over Justin Herbert. Here's the quarterback on his expectations for being able to play this season.
For me, I think right now I just want to focus on being able to get to know everyone I want to build relationships with guys on the team. I want to dive deep into my playbook, understand, what I need to do to get better. And, if my opportunity comes, it comes. But as of now, I'd say that's all I'm looking forward to is just being able to build a relationship with the guys on the team and getting into my playbook.
All right, Dan, Marcus, and Laura is up with us here this morning. All right, Laura, you've been covering this from the moment he got hurt in that game against Mississippi State. What'd you think of how it turned out?
Look, Miami got their guy. Turns out all along they really wanted Tua, and they ended up successfully making sure that nobody else thought that they would need to trade up and get him. And so then he was right there at 5, which is exactly what they wanted to happen. And it's really cool to see all of this come to fruition. I mean, I think it's worth reminding people that Tua Tagovailoa wasn't even sure he could walk again or play football again after this injury happened. It was a long, lonely road to recovery for him. And to get to this point where now he's taken 5th overall to the team that, like you said, was trying to supposedly tank for him anyway before is really cool to see. And I think when it comes to how this is all going to play out, one thing that I was told by somebody close to this situation last night is that the timeline for the NFL and when the season may return may actually work in Tua's favor. If somehow things are pushed back or things are just a little bit different, it may actually work in the fact of getting him on the field a little bit sooner than you would have otherwise if things were on schedule. So as so much of this has not worked, you know, in anybody's favor when it comes to just the football side of things, that may be a slight advantage for Tua in getting on the field a little bit sooner.
Marcus, Justin Herbert was sitting there. Did the Dolphins make the right pick?
Yes, they made the right pick, G. And another thing I was thinking about, because we've been having this conversation about Tua and the opportunity for Miami to do their vetting process, something tells me they were able to check and check and check medicals to make sure that this was the pick that they wanted to make. Not only that, a safe pick. I just couldn't see anything else based on what we saw Tua do in college. How do you not take him if he's medically cleared over Justin Herbert? That just made sense to me. I had Miami trading up to 3 because I figured Detroit would be able to get Jeff Okuda at 5 if they were just to switch those picks. But when you look at this decision that Miami made, coupled with the things that they did in free agency, Miami not playing, and how they ended the season after the first conversation at the first part of the season was they were tanking for Tua. They actually did not tank for Tua, ended up still getting Tua, and ended up adding some more playmakers to this offense. It's great, phenomenal for Tua that he went 5th, but Tua should have went 5th.
Dan Orlovsky, who should be the Dolphins' starting quarterback week 1?
No, Ryan Fitzpatrick. If I'm the Dolphins, I'm not even thinking about playing Tua this year. I'm not even thinking about it. Maybe if we get into the back, you know, three games of the season and we're not in playoff contention or whatever, I'll think about it. I would even entertain putting Tua on PUP to start the season. I've said this all offseason. My plans for Tua are for the next 15 years, and that's why the Dolphins were a good situation because they're in rebuild mode. They know that they have their head coach and general manager for the future. You don't have to win to keep your job, so if you start this season struggling, you don't have to feel the pressure of, I've got to play my rookie quarterback to, you know, prove to the owner that there's, you know, there's potential there. So Tua shouldn't see the field, certainly for the early part of this season, Greeny. What are we talking about here, though? Like, this is enormous for the Miami Dolphins. They could just potentially have gotten the best college quarterback ever. Like, at the 5th pick, this is huge. Very rarely do NFL teams get legit championship hope. Like, legit championship hope. Now the Miami Dolphins, for the first time since Dan Marino was there, have legit championship hope in Tua Tagovailoa. And so their number one priority right now is to handle him the right way, to make sure that they don't ask him to do something in September, October that he's not ready to do. And then it's on Tua to prove the Miami Dolphins were right with their selection. But was this the right choice? This is a no-brainer. The Miami Dolphins have championship hope now because they've got one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever come through college football.
Really quick, Laura, because you've been saying all along that his camp has been telling everybody he'll be ready to play when the season begins, yes?
Yeah, and here's the thing about that. The doctors who have continued to examine Tua are the ones that have said that he would be healthy to begin the season. They have said that this is a hip after the surgery – that is actually just as strong and looks exactly the same as the other hip that was not injured. And so that's really remarkable if you think about what's gone on there. The prognosis has been excellent for the future. We'll have to wait and see if it actually ends up being excellent, but that is how it looks right now. And so I would still be in the same scenario as Dan just said. Be cautious with him, but I do believe he will be ready to play, which is a best case scenario. You can have him doing a lot in practice. You can bring him into games. There's a lot you can still do with him there, even if you don't start him in games.
Marcus, why were you shaking your head?
Well, y'all look, y'all go ahead and be cautious. Let week 6-7, Tua be the starter for the Miami Dolphins. Listen, I'm a firm believer. When you draft a quarterback at fifth, with all of the questions that we had leading into this draft, you did not draft him to give him a year of a full red shirt. I agree with Dan. Fitz should start the season out. But when this thing plays out, I'll bet the house that Tua will be the starter for the Miami Dolphins. And don't let it start off bad and the fan base start going crazy about wanting to see Tua play. That'll be added pressure to get him in games. I think he'll be healthy enough, obviously.
It's been too long since we've bet a house on this show. I'm delighted that we've done it. We'll put the house on when it is that Tua is the starting quarterback. Guys, stay with me. We're just getting rolling here. I also want to show you one of the best nights or best moments of the night last night. It belonged to Cesar Ruiz, a center from Michigan. Sometimes we think about this thing and we debate, when should he play? When should he not play? Did they make the right pick? Did they make the wrong pick? This is a young man who dedicated his career to his father who died in a car accident. Last night, his dream coming true after all the years of hard work. Got a virtual hug from the commissioner of the National Football League last night. More than anything else, that's what the draft is about. Meanwhile, we have another busy day here on ESPN. Coming up after we wrap up Get Up, it's time for First Take. Then SportsCenter, NFL Live at 3 Eastern, College Game Day at 5. Our draft countdown show is at 6, and then rounds 2 and 3 of the draft. And we'll cap it all off with SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt, 11:30 Eastern. Jam-packed day here on ESPN. Coming up 15 years ago to the day Aaron Rodgers was drafted to replace a legend. Did history repeat itself last night? Lewis Riddick with his reaction live in a moment. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time, and this one's going to be for Neek. We'll jump in. Who is the highest drafted wide receiver to catch a pass from Aaron Rodgers since he became the starter in 2008? It's a sneaky question, and the answer is next. Get Up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We are back on Get Up the morning after the draft, and Dominique Foxworth is with us this morning, and his first job will be to try to answer this one from Sneaky Hembo. Neek, who is the highest drafted wide receiver to catch a pass from Aaron Rodgers since Rodgers became the starter?
That's a tough one. I know they don't spend a lot of capital there. I'm going to go with Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings is incorrect. It is Jordy Nelson. Sometimes the most obvious pick is the right one. He was the 36th overall pick in 2008. Aaron Rodgers has never thrown a pass to a first-round receiver as an NFL starter. And he won't again next year.
Snitching.
The Packers had the biggest shock of the first round last night. They trade up to take Utah State quarterback Jordan Love, who is now the potential heir apparent to Rodgers with the 26th pick. Here was Love with our Susie Culber last night.
Hey, I mean, I didn't know what to expect coming into this, so, you know, I'm super excited. Had some good talks with coaching staff here at Green Bay, so I'm excited.
So what do you think you can learn from Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I'm already knowing I can learn a lot from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's one of the GOATs right there in the game, and, you know, I'm excited to be able to come back behind him and just learn as much as I can.
All right, Lewis Riddick is here after a terrific work last night. Lewis, thank you for getting up early here. What did you think of that move?
Look, I think this is a classic example, Greeny, of drafting a quarterback when you don't necessarily need one in the immediate future. And I think that's smart business, that's smart team building. Some of the great team builders that this league has ever seen we'll do it that way. Jimmy Johnson just talked about it. I remember in some recent comments leading up to this draft, and I think in this kind of situation, look, Aaron Rodgers is 36 years old. He's going to be 37 in December. You have to look 2, 3, 4 years down the road, and when a guy like Jordan Love is still available at the most important position on a football team, and you see him sliding down the draft board, then you have to make a decision if you want to be aggressive and go up and get someone who you believe will benefit from sitting behind a future Hall of Famer that you feel you can bring along and develop into maybe the heir apparent. And, you know, I like the move. It's going to ruffle little feathers, maybe here and there, maybe in the fan base, maybe in the quarterback room itself with Aaron Rodgers. But this is good long-term strategic planning on the part of the Packers.
I get that part of it. Let's take the maybe part of what you're talking about. How do you think Aaron Rodgers will react to this?
It's hard to say without knowing Aaron personally. I think he will be professional about it. Obviously, there is a little bit of pride and, you know, that goes along with being that kind of player that Aaron is, which is one of the greatest of all time. And obviously, you know, it's going to be one of those things where Jordan Love's going to have to go in there and really just kind of be humble and make everyone understand, look, I'm just here to learn and kind of just kind of earn Aaron's trust. And I think it's something that, you know, players wind up figuring out and coaches who are good leaders will wind up being able to manage. And look, I don't think you can take this kind of thing personal. You know, if you spend too much time getting wrapped up in your personal feelings in the NFL, you won't last very long. And I think Aaron understands that.
I get that part of it. But Lewis, let me play devil's advocate on the move itself. This is a team that was one game away from the Super Bowl last year. And we just did a trivia question that illustrates they've really never gone out and used significant capital in bringing him in grade A help. So the argument against what they did last night would be get Aaron Rodgers a chance to win a championship while you still have him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Look, when they were on the clock, many people were sitting there thinking, myself included, look, you need to get a wide receiver. You need to get someone to help out Devontae Adams because he really is all you have out on the perimeter and someone who Aaron can count on and depend on. Now, they didn't wind up doing that. They took the long-term approach at the most important position on the football team, and they feel as though with some of the depth that you have at the wide receiver position in this draft, they'll be able to address it here on the second and third days of the draft. And I'm sure you'll see them be aggressive to acquire some more weapons on the perimeter without a doubt.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, by moving round one to its own night, sometimes we act as though that's all that they're going to have a chance to do. And they still can fortify that. But I'm just guessing we're going to have a very salty Aaron Rodgers when this is all said and done. Let me run around this a little bit with you here. Tua was the big story leading in. He winds up going 5 to the Dolphins. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great move for them. I think it's a situation where they know that they're set up to where they can afford to go ahead and give him a redshirt year and let him sit in 2020 behind Ryan Fitzpatrick and let him just heal up and be ready to go in 2021. You know, the drafting of Austin Jackson out of USC, obviously, you know, is evident that they know that they need to protect him long term as well. Austin's going to need some developmental work, but he is a very, very good prospect. I think they're on the right path here as far as how they're trying to build this out, because look, minus the injury, this is the best thrower in the draft. I'm convinced of that. I think the Dolphins are convinced of that. And I think they're going to wind up seeing the return on the investment that they're looking for once he gets on the football field, I hope, in 2021.
And then one more for you, Lewis, just positive or negative, what was one move that just jumped off the page at you that was made last night?
Yeah, there was a bunch of them. I'm just going to go all the way down to the last pick of the draft with the Kansas City Chiefs drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Look, this is really going to be unfair, all right? Their offense right now is about to be unfair with Clyde Edwards being the kind of guy who's a dual run pass threat, who is really cut from the mold that Andy Reid looks for at running backs. Think about Brian Westbrook. Think about LeSean McCoy, who he had when he were in Philadelphia. Two guys who were dual threats in the run and pass game. Clyde Edwards fits the same type of mold, maybe even more powerful than both of those two guys, with the same kind of home run speed and the same kind of screen game ability that those two had. Put him back there with Damian Williams and the rest of the guys that they have on the perimeter, and of course Pat Mahomes. It's going to be wild watching them play once we get on the field in 2020. I think they're going to be even better.
Yeah, the rich got richer on that offense, no question. Lewis, it was terrific to watch last night. We will all look forward to seeing you and the crew again tonight. Have a wonderful day, and thank you very much for getting up and doing this early here. Lewis Riddick is with us looking back at the draft. So, again, the Chiefs, their game plan was they drafted Patrick Mahomes when they had a quarterback. They gave him a year to sit and study and learn, and he becomes the quarterback. Let's find out if Green Bay has a similar plan now with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. And my cavalcade of analysis continues. I have Bobby Carpenter, Ryan Clark, and Nika. We'll start with you. What did you think of the decision the Packers made last night?
I mean, I think a lot of people are celebrating it as if it's a good decision. It's only a good decision if Jordan Love pans out to be the player that people want him to be. And a day ago, we were talking about how he was boom or bust. And this is a really bad decision if he turns out not to be as good as Aaron Rodgers, because you're essentially ruining your foreseeable future, and you're not getting a kind of a prospect that can take you going forward. Because if you think back to when Aaron Rodgers was drafted, that sent Brett Favre right off the cliff. So I don't think that we can overstate the psychological impact. Brett Favre was really good the year before Aaron Rodgers got there. Then all of a sudden he was bad for 3 years in a row, and he had to go somewhere else to find that ability again. So I think aside from not getting Aaron Rodgers' help, it's hard to predict the psychological impact of drafting a quarterback when you have a guy there. So they could be ruining their present for a future that is based on a guy that nobody really thought was like a guaranteed prospect. So it's a risky move. It's gutsy, but it's risky.
RC, Aaron Rodgers is your nemesis. He beat you in a Super Bowl, and you've told that story many times. What'd you think of what happened to him last night?
You know what? I thought that they were going to make the move to get Aaron Rodgers some help. You look at this guy. He hasn't thrown to a first-round receiver in a very long time. And when we go back to watch this team last year, their passing game was Devontae Adams or nothing. And so if you're Aaron Rodgers, I would be upset that you didn't get me any help. This is a point in my career where I could still play, and I'm trying to win. And so now we're going to have to look to Aaron Rodgers, the mentor. And I don't know Aaron Rodgers personally. I just know that when I watch him post game, that his comments don't necessarily inspire me to be great or give me the warm and fuzzies as a leader. So it's going to be very interesting as to how he deals with this pick, and also how he deals with Jordan Love in the quarterback room, because we all know young quarterbacks need to be mentored and sit behind someone that wants to see them grow and be flowered. I'm not necessarily sure that will be what happens in Green Bay.
Bobby, did we see the beginning of the end of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay last night?
Yeah, he's going to be salty as the sea, Green. This is going to be a very difficult situation for him. If you go back and look at the situation he was in with Favre, I don't think he's going to be happy about this. And part of the reason why is last year in free agency, they addressed the defense. They addressed the defense at the top of the draft. And so this year there was probably an inherent promise, or at least he thought, I'll finally be able to get some weapons. You heard Ryan talk about just, hey, it was Devontae Adams or bust. He needed help out there. They can get out from under this deal. The only thing is that Jordan Love is not going to be ready to play for a couple of seasons, but it is going to be a swirly situation up there with Aaron, because as you've seen him in press conferences, you hear him talk, he's not the warmest guy about some of these situations. And I think this is going to probably motivate him initially, but there's going to have to be some patchwork there done with Coach LaFleur.
Nick, you pointed out the psychological impact that had on Favre. He ultimately had to go play elsewhere. Do you believe Aaron Rodgers will ultimately play in another uniform besides the Packers?
I think he probably will, but I do think that this was a risky move. But we have to understand that Aaron Rodgers, and Greeny, you and I got a lot of heat from Packers fan base last year. Aaron Rodgers has been statistically about an average quarterback for the past three seasons. So I understand them wanting to make the move. I'm just not sure that the move that they needed to make right now was to Jordan Love. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to let his career be defined by this. He's going to want to go somewhere else and dominate, because I think that's in his DNA, because that's in a lot of great players' DNA.
All right, we will see. We'll get a lot more from these guys as we go. As you can see, we have so much analysis for you this morning. As we continue, first he was reunited with Gronk, then came the draft. Why a good week became a great one for Tom Brady last night. We'll explain on This Morning After Round One. Get Up on ESPN.
Come on, get up. Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We are back on Get Up, and let's talk about some of the sneaky big picks from last night. Swagu, I start with you. What'd you like?
Isaiah Simmons, G.
Isaiah Simmons was the best pick to me of the NFL draft. Getting him at number 8, we all expected him to go 4th. But the fact that Isaiah Simmons to me is the best player in this draft defensively because of his multiplicity and how his game lends itself to the NFL. It is unbelievable that Arizona, who ranked 31st in efficiency, was able to get Isaiah Simmons.
Dan Orlovsky, what was your sneaky big pick?
Yeah, I'm on board with Lewis Riddick and Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm on board thinking it's Brian Westbrook, kind of new age. Think about Andy Reid and the way he uses his backs in the screen game, in the pass game, to get them out in space. He's also outstanding in pass protection. It's a perfect fit to plug and play in Kansas City's offense. And they're going to be so much better than they were last year. Put him in the Super Bowl.
Bobby Carpenter, sneaky big pick.
I'm going to go Jedrick Wills out of Alabama to tackle the Browns drafted. How you build a team is you draft your quarterback, you protect him, you give him weapons. The Browns gave him weapons, they didn't protect him, brought in Conklin this offseason, and now they got the road grader in Wills. He's big, he's explosive. They're going to flip him over to the left to protect the blind side, but he fits in perfect with this stretch zone and loose play action that Cleveland wants to run.
Speaking of O-lineman, Marcus, give me one more.
Let's keep in that same tone with Tristan Wirfs going to Tampa Bay. Now, obviously, he has the most important job possibly in NFL history for a rookie offensive tackle to protect Tom Brady and make sure that Tampa Bay reaches the heights that they want to. A crazy athletic offensive tackle, former wrestler, is physical, will pound you, but also holds up and is a swing tackle who plays left and right on the line of scrimmage. Tampa Bay hit a home run with Wirfs. He will be their stalwart tackle for the next 10 to 15 years. This was a great pickup.
Yeah, what a week Tom Brady has had. Dan Orlovsky, let's talk about it. He goes to Tampa. We knew he had some weapons. And then in the last, 48 hours, he adds Rob Gronkowski and now a bookend tackle. What do you think Tom Brady's thinking this morning?
I made the right choice. I made the right choice in going to Tampa Bay, and I trusted Jason Light that he would get the things done, their general manager. He would do the things necessary to make sure that this move for me was worthy, and Jason Light has proven it. I mean, think about it in the last 72 hours. I told everybody that the Bucs still needed 3 moves. They needed an inside type of receiver that was comfortable with Tom Brady. Well, Gronk came back, obviously. They needed a pass-catching running back. I would imagine that comes up in the draft suit, and then they needed a tackle. So they've knocked off 2 of their 3 needs. And right now, it really is a kind of an arms race at the top of the NFC. San Francisco had an outstanding first round, so they're still in the lead, and New Orleans drafting a center. But it's really a 3-team race right now with San Francisco, Tampa, and New Orleans. And so Tom Brady's got to sit there feeling really comfortable that I'm going to be protected. I've got people to throw the football to. Imagine that. Imagine Tom Brady sitting there going, wait, I'm gonna remember how it feels to be 35 again when I was protected and I had people to throw the football to. He's got to be feeling really good about Tristan Wirfs getting drafted by the Bucs.
Marcus, it feels, just sitting and watching it from a distance, like he has to have had a hand in this, right? Like these conversations took place and Brady was letting people know in the organization, this is what I need.
100%, G. I mean, look, we talked about the lack of weapons in New England, but when you think about making a move to get Tom Brady at his age, which you still thinking that he's a Super Bowl winning caliber quarterback that can take you there, obviously these conversations were had prior to him even signing with Tampa Bay about what the future and how would we approach me signing with you. Here's what I will say though, G. I got to bring in another side to this. It's all on Tom Brady now. There is no excuse from a personnel standpoint. So we'll find out if TB12 is still TB12. And I think that's what I'm most excited about, because they've surrounded him with every single thing that you need. These pieces that Dan is talking about that they still need, I agree with. But that shouldn't make or break who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be. This is on Tom Brady to get this done. And I'm excited about seeing if he can.
I totally agree. And it really does, Bobby, if we look at it, there are 2 different ways to handle having an aging quarterback. The Patriots basically started figuring out how to move on. The Packers last night started figuring out how to move on. The Buccaneers have gone the other way and said, I've got a little window here. I'm going to make my run. In your mind, are the Buccaneers the team to beat in the NFC South?
I think with what they've done here over the last week, I think that may have put it over the top. They bring in Gronk, they get worse, the tackle. So now they have the full complement of weapons, the whole offense that they need. And so I think this does put them over the top. I worry a little bit about Tristan Wirfs' psyche because now the entire weight of this Bucs organization is now going to be on his shoulders to protect Tom Brady. And they're going to have to make sure that he's in a good space because if something does happen, his mindset is going to be very, very tough.
I'll tell you what. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, I see. If I want to get what I want, I need to go to a new team to do it.
I got
to
go.
All right, I got to mention this too quickly. Obviously, yes. We're all over the draft all morning long, but don't forget that Sunday night will be episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance, which is brought to you by Facebook. 3 and 4 Sunday night. Here's a preview of what you can expect. You will see a whole lot of Dennis Rodman.
Well, I got the worst kept secret in town sitting next to me. You guys, as usual, got us on that one. For the last 2 years, Phil Jackson has been a very integral part of this organization. And he's now ready to be a head coach. Welcome, coach.
Thanks, Jerry. Have
you talked to Michael Jordan yet?
Yes, I have.
What do you say?
Congratulations. Let's go win a championship.
Phil took over and just had a different approach. Doug's approach was more catered to Michael, and Phil's approach was more catered to the team.
I wasn't a Phil Jackson fan, you know, when he first came in, you know, because he was coming in to take the ball out of my hands.
So that's a little taste of what you're going to see in episode 3. Not, you didn't see Dennis Rodman in that clip, but I promise you, you will see a lot of Rodman in episodes 3 and 4. And episode 4 so far is my favorite. It includes the time they swept the Bad Boy Pistons. The Pistons walk off the floor before the final game is over. And wait until you hear what Michael Jordan has to say about Isaiah Thomas and Bill Laimbeer all these years later. You will Sunday night, The Last Dance, again, which is brought to you by Facebook, continuing with episodes 3 and 4, Sunday 9 Eastern. It's going to be spectacular. The uncensored versions on ESPN and the ESPN app. The edited for mature language version will be on ESPN2. Oh, what a week it's been here on Get Up. To all the medical professionals, the first responders, we are forever in your debt. Our job is to entertain you.
And my preference is to think that LeBron James is the GOAT of basketball.
Michael Jordan is first.
It's just so emotional, man.
Where did you guys get so emotional?
Oh, God.
I never got to make what I promised you was a brilliant point.
I found a Tasty Cakes truck. You freaking embrace it. And this is some Oreo stuff. I don't know. It might kill me.
It is Christmas, and Mel Kiper is Santa Claus.
New England Buccaneers.
We will just confirm. You've told us this morning Joe Burrow will be the number one pick in the draft, even though you obviously didn't.
Tampa Bay Patriots.
Shefty, don't never text me back.
Marcus, you have gotten as soft as baby poop.
Well, I think soft as baby poop seems like a pretty good place to leave it today.
Baby poop.
I hope you're having as much fun as we are getting up here every morning on ESPN. Coming up, have we seen the beginning of the end of Aaron Rodgers? And was it the right decision in Green Bay? That answer and more on the morning after round 1 on ESPN.